Hi, my name is Marilyn, and today I'm going to be presenting Parent Partners, Improving the Pediatric Medical Home of Children with Genetic Disorders Through Parent-to-Parent Navigation and Non-Medical Support. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So some background on Parent Partners. The Haley Project Parent Partners program works with pediatric primary care practices to identify, train, and support parents of children with complex conditions to then serve as navigators for other families that are facing similar issues. The trained parent partners are able to build a relationship with the families and assist them in gaining access to both the medical and social services for their children. This allows the providers to then hand off many of the non-medical conversations to the parent partners, which in turn allows them to have a more efficient medical practice. And this is taken from the idea of many large health systems. They do have patient navigators. Our difference is that we wanted to recruit parent navigators that had a children with their own similar conditions, so they have that increased level of empathy and just understanding of what social issues those families might be going through. And it's been a collaborative effort. The idea was first piloted by the Haley Project. The director of the Haley Project is Brad Thompson, and he himself has a child with a genetic condition. And it was first funded by the Mountain States Genetics Regional Collaborative, which is funded through the Health Resources and Services Administration. We funded it as sort of a mini project, pilot project. At this point now, the Children and Youth with Special Health Care Needs programs of both Wyoming and Montana have become involved. And we currently have 8 pediatric practices using parent partners in both Wyoming and Montana. And the sustainability, like I said, it was originally from Mountain States Genetics that it was initially funded, but now Montana, their state has funded it for 2015-2016. It is in their state budget, and it's going to be reviewed by Wyoming in 2016. And I'm going to give some background now on our evaluation methodology for the program. Our rationale. We wanted to reflect on the progress of the parent partner program. It's always a process in development. We're always looking on ways to improve the program. We want to have increased communication regarding the program goals, activities, and anticipated outcomes. We want to share the evaluation findings with the providers, policymakers, and of course the funders. And then just to ensure accountability, we're always looking at increasing opportunities for the funding and strengthening the sustainability of the program. Our objectives, our first objective, we were evaluating structure and theory. We developed a logic model based on program theory that would assess the extent of institutionalization of the program as a regular part of the office practice. Then we wanted to evaluate implementation. We wanted to see the extent of the implementation of the program, including the fidelity to the training program that was developed by the Haley Project, and also the readiness of the parent partners to provide the services, barriers, and support for implementation of the program also at each practice site. And our last objective, we were interested in documenting achievement of the patient recruitment and engagement targets and evaluating the early program outcomes such as satisfaction and the perception about the quality of the medical home that we had created from the perspectives of the parent partners, the patients, and the providers. Our methods, first we developed the program logic model, then we reviewed our documents, all the documents, the training sessions that were given to the parent partners, and some of the resources that were given for them to refer back to. We documented the implementation, any factors affecting program implementation in the practice settings. We have a good ongoing relationship with Brad Thompson from the Haley Project, and we've interviewed him quite a few times, and we're always getting feedback on him as far as how we can improve the program, and then also the surveys to the parent partners, the providers, and the parents. This is the logic model I referred to earlier. I won't go into complete detail about it, but I want to ensure I have time to go over some of the data that we've collected. But for our outcome measures, we first started looking at the short-term outcome measures, but now the surveys we're developing, we've put out now a baseline survey for the actual families that are in the program, and we're currently collecting data just as a follow-up to see how being in the program has increased just their knowledge and their access to resources. And our selection criteria for the parent partners and the providers, we want the parent partners to be experienced in navigating systems, which they were because they have encountered just their own issues through having a child with a hereditary condition. A lot of them are advocates in some of their local or community resource groups and family support groups. They all have great personalities. I've been able to meet with quite a few of them, very outgoing, definitely advocates for the special health care needs population. The providers, they're primary care doctors or clinics. They're actually all pediatricians. There are practices that did have a significant number of patients with special health care needs, and also they're committed to making their practice into the patient and family-centered medical home concept. And also we wanted them to be open to the possibility of accepting financial responsibility for the parent partner at the end of the trial period. We have been able to secure funding from the state health departments, but we're also hoping this is an idea that can expand, and if we can demonstrate success, that there might be more physicians willing to fund their own parent partners. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about the program administration because I do want to get to move along to some of the outcomes that we've been able to collect. These are some of the early program outcomes. At first, when we first started the program in 2013, we put out surveys. These were, at this time, we had smaller numbers of families enrolled, so those weren't huge numbers, but we were able to initially get all seven of the seven parent partners that were in practice at the time to respond to the survey. And we were pleased. On average, 25 families a month were being seen by parent partners, so it was a significant amount of families. All the parent partners thought that the program was in good compliance with the standards that we had initially identified as far as professional and legal standards. They thought they had adequate resources, facilities, and funding, and most of them thought that their families seemed overall satisfied with the program. The only issue we did notice was they thought that there might be low parent awareness, so we needed to kind of work on ways to make sure that the pediatric primary care practice that they are promoting the program and referring the correct families into the program. As far as the training with the program, overall satisfaction for the parent partners was high on that. They thought objectives were being met, that we clearly defined training objectives, and that at the end of each training session that they had met those. They thought the training topics were relevant to what their day-to-day practice was as far as working with the families, and also that the interaction was good. I've been on the phone calls before with the parent partners. There's a lot of participation and interaction. Brad Thompson really encourages it to be open forum. And then also the training duration they thought was good. Just some recommendations that the parent partners did make that could improve the training. They did say that more training time was always a benefit and just training more often. They, some of them would like to have more case study work just so they have more practical experience for the day-to-day activities that they're doing. And then also concerns just about HIPAA were brought up. They did have training in HIPAA, but as the program went on, we realized that many of them were initiating contact with the families through phone encounters just because the parent partners are in the clinic part-time. They might not be there when the family's first identified, so that initial contact might be over the phone, and they wanted to make sure that they weren't doing anything that went against HIPAA laws. And also just another specific item was serving families of lower socioeconomic status. I mean, the families, they do have experience in navigating the healthcare system. They're generally not lower socioeconomic status, so they just wanted to make sure they were aware of all the programs that might be available for lower SES families. As far as their integration into the clinic, all of them wanted to make sure that they were being effectively integrated into the clinic. They thought that bringing all the partners, the nurse coordinators and providers together more often would be beneficial to the program, and also just going over specific training. Some of the families and the practices had addiction issues, or they were struggling with even getting their basic needs met, so they were actually at risk of having their children removed from home by Child Protective Services, so they wanted to know how to best interact with those families. And I'm going to move into some of the data we've collected. This was in late 2013, and we had three providers respond at the time. And overall, the providers that responded, they were satisfied with the parent partner program, and they'd recommend it to other clinics that were serving similar populations. And they also did note that having a parent partner in the room during the actual consultation with the family led to a reduction of the time spent during each patient visit. It was a statistically significant reduction, which was part of the idea to make the providers make their appointments more efficient so they can see more of these patients. They were enthusiastic about continuing to work with the parent partners. The only issue was they were worried since the parent partners are in the clinic only part-time, that there might be some lag time between when the family's identified and when the parent partner's able to reach out to them if they weren't there at the initial consultation. And I'm not going to read the recommendations verbatim, but one physician, they did think that it was having an improved quality of life for the families that were in the program, and also that it did lead to them being more efficient. They described it as a win-win situation. Another one did, again, refer back to the fact that the parent partners were in the office on a limited basis, but they pointed out that they were doing a great job contacting the families on the phone and also finding many pertinent issues out that the practice was unaware of, and it allowed the practice just to have a more complete assessment of the families they were seeing. The parent survey that went out in late 2014, we put out the first survey. This is more of a baseline survey. We have another survey out. We're wanting to see some of the longer-term outcomes for the families that have been in the program now for over some time. We had 99 respondents. And we found that the demographic mostly being seen, it was primarily female Caucasian. There was only one family that didn't speak English as their primary language, which had been a concern. We didn't have necessarily Spanish-speaking parent partners, so we wanted to make sure that all families were being seen. As we move into more sites that might have higher Spanish-speaking populations, that's going to be something we need to address. And most of the children in the program were on Medicaid or CHIP. There were some issues as far as ER visits. 20% had visited one within the last 3 months. There were some missed appointments, both medical and therapy, and it was some of the issues we expected: transportation, insurance coverage, scheduling appointments, and just uncertainty over what kind of care they were supposed to be seeking. And the majority of the parents, 62%, did have high levels of enthusiasm for participation in the program. Most didn't see any barriers to participation. And from our earlier survey of just a small sample size of 18 parents in 2013, over 6 months, they did express satisfaction with their child's progression. And as far as the evaluator recommendations, some of the things that we wanted to do, we wanted to make a recruiting system for the parent partners, just identify networks, come up with a general job description, what abilities the parent partners needed to have, make sure we have appropriate training materials available for the parent partners, just tracking attendance, giving them feedback after training, and just having a resource directory that they can access at all time. And then assigning parent partners, we want it to be very individualized to where we consider each patient's diagnosis and specific challenges the family might be running into, and finding the parent partner that can best address those challenges, and also just any unique preferences the families might have, such as language. And we've also discussed developing a web page for the parent partner program, again, just giving it added visibility and just a resource for the families to go to and also the parent partners. And then for suggestions, just ongoing evaluation, having resource directories, and keeping monthly activity reports of the parent partners, and developing more online training sessions. And I'd like to acknowledge the 8 pediatric practices that are in Wyoming and Montana. The pediatricians have been very active in this program, and if it wasn't for them, this program would not have grown how it has. It has been because they've been so supportive of it. And then again, the Montana and Wyoming health departments, the Haley Project, and then Mountain States Genetics.